Well, good morning again. Glad that you are here with us this morning and worshiping with us this Advent season. Don't you just love the Advent season when they light the Advent candle? I just love that and read God's Word. There's something rich about that. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. Glad that you have chosen to spend your Sunday morning with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ, the presence of Christ in this place. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out. Would love for you to fill that out. Let us know that you were here. Don't require that, but would love for you to be able to do that and let us know that. There's a line there. You can put your email address and check the box if you'd like to be on our email list. We would love to add you to that. Hope that you feel Christ's love. And as Billy said this morning, that we will have the Christmas party tonight. Raise your hand if you're coming tonight. Awesome. Did you get that head count, Billy? That's how many slices of brisket we need. Okay. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. You may find this a little odd passage to read on an Advent Sunday, but there's a reason. We'll get there. Matthew chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16. Jesus he's just getting ready to begin his ministry, and he has just been baptized by John the Baptist, and we pick it up in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God..." I want to stop there for just a second. Now, who just proclaimed Jesus the Son of God? The Father. The Father said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." And the devil knew that. So he's already beginning to attack with lies the truth that God himself has spoken over Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point on the temple. Again, he said, "If you are the Son of God..." He said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written." Now notice that did you know Satan knows the Word of God? He's quoting the very Word of God to Jesus. He's trying to use it in deception. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." I love this. Jesus answered, "Yeah, but it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you here, and you indeed are welcome here. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I continue the Advent sermon series, The Prophetic Jesus. The Prophetic Jesus. And last week we talked about that Jesus was prophesied, that he was promised. He was the promised one. And we had Old Testament prophecy that was written some 700 plus years, in some cases 2,000 years, before the birth of Christ. It was prophesied that he would be born of the Virgin, that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. and that kings would come bearing gifts and would worship him, and that he would fulfill the covenant that God had established with Abraham and his people. So that was last week, the promised one. Today, today's message is holy and anointed one. Holy and anointed one. You know, 62 times, I actually got in and counted these, 62 times in the New Testament you will find the words, "It is written." What do you think that they're referring to? Anytime you see Jesus or others say, "It is written," they're referring back to the Old Testament, which was the complete Bible of the biblical time when Jesus walked the earth. The New Testament had not been written because Jesus was still here. He was still doing his thing. And that's very, very theologically sound way to say that, right? Jesus was doing his thing. But they were referring to the Old Testament, and they would constantly say, "It is written." In many cases, Jesus would say things like, "All that's written about the Son of Man must be fulfilled. It all must happen." So he's referring to these prophetic Old Testament writings that were prophesying what would happen with the Christ. It depends on which theologian you read, but it's generally accepted that there are over 300 Old Testament prophecies that foretell the coming of Jesus. All sorts of details about the coming of Jesus, that he would be the Messiah, the Christ. Listen to this particular one, and I found in Isaiah 11, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse." Now, we saw last week, I looked at Matthew chapter 1. If you go back and read the genealogy of Jesus, Jesse was the father of David, King David, and we know that the Messiah was to come through that line, through David's line, and Jesse was the father of David. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch. Now, if you look at your, I'm not sure where it is. You got that up there, Lee? That passage? Can you get that verse up there? I'm sorry, I didn't give you. I'm sorry, my bad. If you'll look at it, any version, when it says the word branch, it has a big B. There's a reason, because the branch is who? Somebody say his name. The branch is Jesus, the Messiah. They're speaking of this Messiah that would become. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." What did we just read at the baptism of Christ? The Spirit of God in the form of a dove came and rested upon Jesus, and God said, "This is my Son whom I am well pleased." The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's Isaiah 11. Now, that was, again, written some 700-800 years before the birth of Christ. Paul actually refers to that exact passage in Romans chapter 15, verse 12. He almost quotes that verbatim and says, refers back to that Old Testament writing. Now, we just read this ascension, this descending of the dove lighting on Jesus. So I want to, before we get started too deep here, I want to talk about this word Christ. What that actually, we know we refer to Jesus the Christ. So let's talk for a second. That word Christ. If you look a little bit deeper, that word is referring, it's in some ways it can be translated to Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God. There's that he would be the Anointed One of God, that he would be the Messiah. And so many times Jesus is referred to in the Old Testament pointing to the birth of Jesus in this, that he would be the Christ, the Holy One. So I know Billy tells you that a good Baptist sermon has 3 points in a song, right? It usually starts with a joke too, right, Billy? You got to have a joke to start off. But we're going to have, because this sermon is going to be at least twice as good as those sermons, because I've got 7 points this morning. And I'm going to hit them quick. They were not going to belabor any of this. But What I want us to look at is all the places, all throughout Old Testament, Jesus is this Messiah that's coming. It points to Jesus, that he would be the Christ. He would be the Holy One of God. And so I want to look at the New Testament where different times that was proclaimed, that Christ, Jesus was indeed this Messiah that they had been waiting on. First is, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God in Scripture by the angels. I think we always read some of these verses at Christmas time. Luke chapter 1, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." This he's speaking to Mary before Jesus' birth. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then we saw that affirmed later in Luke chapter 2. "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That title means something. Christ, the Holy One, the Anointed One, the Messiah. So the angels proclaimed what had been foretold hundreds of years before. Secondly, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by John the Baptist. John the Baptist. I love this. John the Baptist is coming. You probably know the story. John the Baptist comes and he's pronouncing Jesus is coming, and the leaders of the Jewish people, and he's stirring up the people, and the Jewish religious leaders want to know who he says, who do you claim to be? And so John says in John 1:20, he says, "He confessed freely, I am not the Christ." So, and nobody said, "What's a Christ? Who's a Christ?" Nobody's questioning, "What are you even talking about? What's this Christ guy that you're talking about?" No, they were waiting. They were anticipating because the Old Testament had foretold his coming. And John says, "I am not the Christ." John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. Again, he's referring back to the Old Testament. "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way of the Lord." That comes from Isaiah 40, verse 3. Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." John is saying that he saw this happen. When Jesus is walking by, John is baptizing, and he sees Jesus walking by, and the Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and it remained on him. "I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me." Who sent John to baptize with water? God. So God had told John that my Messiah, the Christ, I'm going to have the dove descend upon him and light on him, and you'll know when you see that, he's the guy. He is the Christ. He is the Holy One of God. "The man on whom," and then going back to the Scripture, "the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." See, John had been, it says later that John had been baptizing people, and it was a baptism of repentance. That was, they were repenting of their sins and being baptized. Jesus would do more. He would forgive us of our sins, but then he would, through the Holy Spirit, he would send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And John says again in verse 34, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." How do you think those Jewish leaders reacted to that? That was blasphemy to them, to proclaim this man was the Son of God. This is big stuff. This is big stuff. We need to understand this stuff. That, again, I said last week that and no matter who you voted for, we all can probably say that our election two or three weeks ago was kind of historical, right? It was kind of like, whoa, not many people saw that really happening. And what if that event had been predicted in the year 1300? And you had over 300 different prophetic writings that foretold that event, and it happened just as those 300 plus writings had said. Would that impress you? That's what we're dealing with here. Thirdly, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the Apostle Andrew. In John chapter 1, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, this is again John the Baptist, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In just a little while, we're going to partake in Holy Communion. And as I've said before, that up until that time, when they partook of the Passover meal, they were remembering that Jesus had freed the nation of Israel from the people of Egypt, he said, "Take a lamb, take the finest, most innocent lamb, and take them and sacrifice them. Paint the blood of that lamb over the doorway, and death will pass over your household." So that was the Passover ritual that had been happening for ever since that the Exodus happened. Jesus is now the Lamb of God. God's Lamb. No longer my lamb, like I take my best lamb out of the flock and sacrifice him. No, we've got God's Lamb. Jesus is God's Lamb. And so John says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And I love this. The first thing Andrew did, we need to hear this, church. We need to hear this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, and that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. When we get that realization in our own hearts, when we understand who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for our sake, the first response from us should be we want to tell everybody, especially those that we love, especially those that we love. Do we have, so I will stop a second. Do we have that kind of response? Too many times we as Christians, we are consumers. We consume Christianity. We look for a church that will serve us well, that has all the different pieces of the components that we need and desire to fulfill our needs. We don't see the Christian journey is like, "I know who Jesus is. I'm going to go tell people." That was the response of Andrew. The first thing he did was go and find his brother Simon. "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." And then he took him to him. Fourthly, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the Apostle Peter. I'm scratching the surface. That's why I couldn't get this down to more, because it's like I'm already paring it down quite a bit. But Peter, over and over throughout Scripture, but we see in Matthew 16 that when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Speaking to the disciples, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I love that because he's also, Jesus goes on to say that on that fact, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's not, so many people make the mistake that thinks he was talking about Peter, that I'm going to build my church on you. No, the church is built on Jesus the Christ. That's the foundation that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Jesus the Christ. So Simon says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." In John 6, we believe in, this is Peter again. Yes, this is Peter. "We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And then again, in Acts, after Jesus has been crucified, he has been resurrected, and he has ascended to the Father, and Pentecost has happened, the coming of the Holy Spirit, he says this to the people, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." All throughout Scripture, Jesus is proclaimed as the Christ, the Holy One of God. And fifth thing, Lazarus' sister Martha. Now this is, I love this passage. I use this passage a lot of times at funerals for various reasons. But Lazarus, who was a close friend of Jesus, has died. Now, Jesus got word that he was sick and he's in another town, and Jesus delays 4 days. And they're kind of like, hey, he's sick, you know, let's go. And Jesus like, chill out. I think that's in the Bible. He says, chill out. Just wait. Because God's fixing to do something big and you're going to love it. He's fixing to show his stuff. Watch this. So he delays. Lazarus dies. He's on his way to greet. He greets Martha. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So he's on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead. He finds Martha and Mary. He finds them weeping. And Martha is basically saying, if you'd have just been here, if you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died. I know you could have saved him. And Jesus responds with that those words. And then he says, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. What is she referring to? Who was to come in the world? It's almost like they were expecting this guy. It's almost like someone had foretold his coming with specific details. So they're anticipating his coming. Martha's saying, you're the one who was to come into the world, and we believe you're him. You're the Christ. Sixthly, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the Apostle Paul. Now, this is after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. We know Paul's story. Paul was he was a Jew, and he was a zealous Jew, and His goal in life was to stamp out this horrible Christian sect that was happening. And if he couldn't kill you, he'd arrest you. And he had an encounter with God, and suddenly things changed. And he actually had an encounter with the very Holy One we're talking about, Jesus. In Acts chapter 17, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Again, referring to the Old Testament, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. That's what he was reasoning with them. And he was pointing back to the very things we're talking about this Advent season, these prophetic writings of the Old Testament. He reasoned with them, and he's pointing them out. Look at this. Here it said he'd be born in Bethlehem. It said this. It said all of these different things, and Jesus fulfilled that. He's the Christ. And he's reasoning with them. And Paul, in Acts chapter 18, devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was, say it with me, the Christ. He's reasoning with them. He's testifying to them Jesus was the Christ. Acts chapter 18, verse 28. Paul vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures. Proving from the Scriptures. Once again, he's taking these Old Testament prophecies and he's saying, look at all this evidence. Proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. I could go on and on and on and on about different areas of Scripture where Jesus was prophesied to be this Holy One of God, the Christ, and then the different ways he fulfilled that, and then how people declared it after he fulfilled it. Lastly, I'm going to stop here. Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by himself, Jesus himself. He launched his ministry, Luke chapter 4. He launched his ministry. He took the Old Testament scripture from Isaiah. He took it. He's in the synagogue and he rolls it out and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All of that is quoting, reading from Isaiah 61. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Hello. They'd been reading that for 700-800 years, this scripture, waiting on this Messiah. Jesus rolls it out and reads it and says, the time's here. The Holy One of God has arrived. I'm here. He's meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, I find this so interesting. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't really that familiar more than likely with the Old Testament writings, with the writings of Isaiah. But here's this encounter he has with her, and he blows her away. He starts telling her all these things about her personal life and that he had no way of knowing. And the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming." She knew it. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan. She was an enemy of the Jews. She knew it. "I know that this Messiah, this Christ is coming," because everybody knows that, because it's been foretold for hundreds of years. "When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Here we go again. Jesus saying, you know this Messiah we've been reading about for 800 years? Feast your eyes on me, because I'm him. Standing before the high priest at his trial before the cross, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus beat around the bush and said, "I am." He minced his words. "I am." He told him very plainly. This was the high priest. This was the Jewish high priest who Jesus knew those words, "I am," would send him to the cross. And he had, guess what? He had you and I on his mind when he said, "I am." Because he knew that was going to take him to the cross, and he knew what he was going to accomplish on the cross for our sake. And then he's sent before Pilate, again, a non-Jew. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. You know, this Christmas season, church, I think we all can get distracted. And even when we're not distracted, I don't think we really get how big of an event we are celebrating every year. And we should celebrate it every moment of our lives. This coming of this anointed one, this holy one of God, this Messiah, this Christ, this coming. He came, he fulfilled all of these hundreds of scriptures that had been prophesied about him. He fulfilled those, and he came for one purpose. He came to redeem you and I, to set us free. So, as we partake of this meal this morning, you know, that I said earlier that the Passover meal that Jesus changed, that his what we call the Last Supper, that last moment with his disciples, this Passover meal had always been about the Passover lamb, the lamb that the nation of Israel would sacrifice from their flock. And yet John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus, taking on that, Jesus said that his body would be broken for us. He became broken so that you and I can be whole. You ever feel broken? Does this world just ever just wear you out? God sent Jesus to become our brokenness and to convey upon us his wholeness, his righteousness. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." Something's new. Something's different. This is no longer going to be the blood of lambs from your flock. This is my blood. This covenant now is going to be fulfilled, eternally fulfilled in my blood. And he said, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me." And that rattled some cages. Not just that night when he did this, but he had been telling the people this. "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me." people left in groves. They left his side. They said, "Hey, I can't abide by that teaching. It's too difficult." And he asked the disciples, "Will you leave now too?" And Peter responded and said, "Where are we to go? Where are we to go? You are the Christ. You have the words of life. This is a table of life. Our brokenness is traded for his wholeness." So, this meal begins with repentance. We are not a perfect people except for the blood of Christ. We're not a perfect people. We come as a forgiven and redeemed people to this meal. So it begins in repentance of our sins. So I want to ask you, if you would, just bow your head. If you've got just anything in your heart, just tell the Lord, ask him to forgive you of your sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. You are a whole people. So I want to ask the praise team and the sound team and our servers to come forward. I'll serve them. And I'll give you the invitation and explain some more in just a moment. The invitation this morning to this table comes from Christ himself. Christ invites you. If you have called him your Lord and Savior, you are invited. If you repent of your sin, you are invited. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you've professed Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sin, you are welcome to come. We have two stations here and two stations on this end where you'll be given a piece of bread and you dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups, the individual wafers there. If you'd like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. You're also welcome to not come. It's okay if you do not want to come. We hope you feel welcome to come.
chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing.
It is written, Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. It is written, Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Now go and tell someone. We're dismissed.